We'll turn back to Luke 24, where we were studying last week, Luke chapter 24. And we will read a passage together in this chapter. Again, Luke chapter 24. And we'll read from verse 25. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24. And the verse number 25. Let's hear God's word. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And we'll go down to verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his own infallible and precious word. Could we bow together, please, and we will have a word of prayer. The Lord will draw near and give much help this morning in this service, in the preaching of the word. So I'll pray to that end, pleading with the Lord to breathe on us, to visit us with his help, by his grace. Let's all seek him. O God, our Father, we pray this morning that it will please thee just now to draw near unto us and give us that help that we need, that anointing by the Holy Spirit, as we now turn to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, to give our minds for a season to the message which thou hast appointed for this hour. And we pray, Lord, that it will please thee to bless us. Lord, touch each child of thine, touch every unconverted soul as well. Lord, speak to one and all. Lord, give me help to preach. Let us know the need of this moment. Let us know, Lord, the frailty of man. Thou dost remember that we are dust. So, Lord, come and have mercy. Come and give help. Come and glorify thine own name, and exalt thy precious Son. As we continue before thee now, we pray all of this in Christ's name, and for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn once more to Luke 24. So, please open your Bible there at that chapter, and may I encourage you to do just that. Open up the Word of God at the passage where we read, and continue to keep your Bible open there, and follow on with us as we bring the message of the Lord. Verse 32 is once again the basis for what we want to consider today. It says in verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" The point that is proved by these words concerning these two disciples who met with the Lord on the Emmaus Road is that in the experience of communion with God, the believer not only speaks with the Lord in prayer, but the Lord speaks with the believer through his own word, through his own truth. We noted that last week. And in noting that point, we observed that in the Lord talking with his people, speaking with his people through the scriptures, he does so by opening up the word of God unto us. That was the salient point, the important point that we sought to observe and note last Lord's Day morning. It was the testimony of these two disciples on the Emmaus Road that the Lord talked with them, and that he did so by opening up the word of God to them. Now this opening that is in view in this verse, as we note it, refers to an opening that can only be wrought by the Lord. The word means to open up thoroughly. And it's associated in the word of God, in the New Testament, with a supernatural act. The power of the Lord, the power of the Spirit, actually causing that opening up to take place. And that's what's in view here in this term. Furthermore, it is an opening that's accompanied by an opening of our understanding as well. For we find here that the very same word is used in these verses where we read this morning as well. In verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding." That's the same word. So there's an opening up of the scriptures, and there's an opening up of our understanding to receive the word and to understand or to take in what the Lord is saying to us. And we further noted that the key to all of this, that is, when the word is opened up and our minds are opened up to receive that word, the key to all of this is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one through whom we gain an understanding of the word of God. Because it says here, "They opened up to them the things concerning himself. All things concerning me," he said, "that are written in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms." Everything in the word of God circles around Christ. And therefore, when the word's opened up to us and our minds are opened up to it truly, we're going to find the Savior. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the pages of the book of God. Now we need to learn well that it is in the scriptures that the Lord speaks to us. Notice here that the hearts of these two men were greatly moved by the word of God as it was opened up to them and they felt its power. Their hearts were moved. The Lord talked with them. They testify from the scriptures. And they testify that their hearts burned within them. And that was a great experience. What I want you to notice is it was caused by the word of God. It was not brought about by some supernatural and extraordinary experience. This heart burning that's in view here was caused by the word. And I underline that because it is worthy that these two disciples, worthy of notice, that these two disciples didn't even recognize the Lord while this was going on. And I point that out to you for a very important reason. Look with me, and we'll get to that reason in a moment or two. It says here in verse 16 that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. At that time, they didn't know this was Christ. You see, the Lord has risen from the dead. He appears to these two men, and indeed in Mark's account, Mark 16 verse 12, it says this, "He appeared in another form." He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now I want you to get the picture here. These two men are walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Suddenly, The Lord's right by them. That's the sense of this language. It says, Jesus drew near and went with them. He came without warning. He came very suddenly. I believe his appearance was miraculous. It was just as miraculous as when he disappeared, because we're told here in the verses that we read again today that he did disappear miraculously. He was with them there eating at the table and suddenly vanished out of their sight. And he had come to them in the very same way. Suddenly, supernaturally, he was by them without any previous warning. He's suddenly walking alongside them. And we're told by Mark, as I've shown you, that he was in another form, which simply means that there was a difference now. He's the resurrected Lord. And he has a different appearance in some way, whatever that may actually mean. I don't know, no man knows. But he was different now after his resurrection. But I want you to notice this point. It was not the Lord's physical presence with them, though it was bathed in the supernatural, that caused their hearts to burn. Rather, it was the Word of God. It was the Scripture. And this is very, very important. This is a real supernatural thing that's going on here. These two men had this tremendous experience of the Lord Jesus Christ suddenly come alongside them and then vanish away from them in a moment or two. But it wasn't that that caused their hearts to burn. Their own testimony is, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Notice that their feelings, their experience, and this, as I say, was real, this was genuine, this experience, it was caused by the Word of God. Now that's a tremendous and a clear repudiation of the foolish and the carnal notion of those who elevate their supposedly miraculous experiences above the Scriptures. There are people who are doing that all the time. People who will tell you in their own words that they don't care what the Bible says, they have had this experience and the other experience, and they'll elevate their experience above the Word of God. Here we find an experience that was real, it was genuine, it was of the Spirit of God, it was something that happened to these two men, but it's not elevated above the Word. And rather, it is inferior to the Scriptures. It's put beneath the Word of God. It's subject to the Word of God. And we should take heed to that. Here's a clear guideline for every Christian as to how to deal with those who will report their wonderful experiences and tell you all kinds of things that go contrary to the Bible. That's the point I'm making. That are contrary to the Bible and are put above the Bible. You be aware of that. Because here's a real experience, and it's subject to the Scriptures. It's not the experience that caused their hearts to burn. It is the Word of God opened up to them that caused their hearts to burn within them that day as they met with the Lord on the Emmaus Road. As we think carefully about this incident of the Lord opening up the Scriptures to the disciples, it is very noteworthy that what had been written hundreds of years before spoke in a fresh manner to the hearts of these two men. Their testimony is that their hearts burned within them as the Lord talked with them, by the way, from the Scriptures. Now, these are the ancient Old Testament Scriptures, written hundreds of years before. God's Spirit had given these Scriptures, for it's the Old Testament, as I said it's in view here, he had given these Scriptures in centuries gone by. These Scriptures are exactly the same as they always had been. Furthermore, these two men knew those Scriptures. I want you to notice that. If you look with me at verse 25, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. These two men, by inference in those words, they knew the Old Testament. They were familiar with the Old Testament. They had read it. They had studied it. Indeed, they had heard the Lord preach from it on countless occasions. And they themselves had undoubtedly preached from the Word of God, from the Old Testament. So, it is the Old Testament. It has been given by the Holy Spirit. These two men are familiar with those Scriptures. But here's a day when the Lord opens up to the words, His Word to these two men, and it is as if these Scriptures are given for the very first time. It is as if these two men have never heard them before. Though they were familiar with them, and they knew them, and they could turn to them undoubtedly themselves, and as I said, they'd even preach from the Word of God. They knew it all as far as a head knowledge is concerned, as far as intellectually speaking is concerned. They had it. They knew it. But now, the Word of God comes to them with a freshness that is such that it is as if this is the first time in their lives that these words have ever come home to their minds. I'm speaking to you this morning of another important aspect of communing with God in His own Word. And that is, when the Lord opens up the Word to us as we read it, and opens up our minds to that Word, He communes with His people through the Scriptures in such a way that they come with what I am calling freshness. Now, in using the word freshness, I'm simply indicating that when the Lord opens up the Word to you, as you read it, as you hear it preached, and suddenly it grips you, it hits you, it makes sense perhaps, whatever way you want to describe it, as the Lord opens up the Word to you and your mind is opened up, isn't it true that it seems that this is the very first time you've ever heard that? That's what I'm talking about when I use the word freshness. That's how these two men felt. It wasn't a new revelation. It was the Word, having been written centuries before. They're familiar with it. But on this occasion, it comes to them with a freshness and with a power that they have never experienced before. Men and women, that's when we know the Lord is communing with us in the Scriptures. When they take on a freshness, and they come to your heart in a way that you haven't experienced before. A verse perhaps that you have read, that you maybe have even memorized, and you know it. And one day as you're sitting reading your Bible, suddenly that verse comes to you with a power that is new, in a way that's so fresh that it is as if the Lord has actually spoken out of heaven, though you know that hasn't happened. You've read it here in the book. But it has hit you and gripped you in this manner like these two men experienced. And you say to yourself, this is as if the Lord has spoken right from heaven to me. That's what I mean by freshness. The freshness that comes when the Lord is at work and the Word is opened up and there's a heart for it and there's a desire for it and there's an appetite for it. Oh, I do pray that that will happen. There are various degrees of this freshness, of course. It may not be exactly like these two men have experienced. There are degrees of this experience of knowing that this is a fresh word from the Lord. It may be a very calm, quiet thing, or it may be dramatic at times. There are many believers who've experienced that. I remember a time in my own life, I was thinking about this morning, when I was feeling the call of God to go into the ministry. And I remember one day being very, very perturbed about all this, wondering, is this of God? And I was actually coming to the point of doing some examinations to prepare for entrance into the theological hall. And the very morning of those examinations, I was pacing to and fro in our living room at home. I opened up the book and suddenly, a verse in Psalm 37 hit me where I began to read. And the Lord spoke to me there in a verse that I knew, I had memorized, was very familiar with it. But it came to me with power. And I knew the Lord was assuring me to go ahead and pursue what He was showing me to do. That's what I mean. Every Christian who's got an appetite for the Word, a desire for the things of God, he's going to find this. As he communes with the Lord, as he finds the Lord opening up the Word to him, he's going to find the Lord coming to him to speak to him through the written Word in a way that's fresh and powerful and mighty to the soul. And I do pray indeed that God will do such things even among us as you listen to the Word of God today. Now I want to bring to your minds, therefore, from these verses before us, from this entire passage, the great truth that as the Lord speaks to His people in the Scriptures, they become what they are. They become to us what they already are. The living Word. God's Word is quick and powerful. It is alive. But the problem is, we approach the book like these two disciples with unbelief, with so much deadness attached to us, spiritually speaking. And the Word that's already alive doesn't impact us, doesn't grip us, doesn't touch us because of our unbelief, because of whatever it might be in our experience. And therefore, we're praying today, even as we preach, that the Lord will draw near and He'll bring the Word to the soul with a freshness that you haven't felt for many a day. I think there are people like that here who would need to feel the power of the Word of God in a manner that's new. You can maybe think back to a time when your heart leapt when you read the Scriptures. It was powerful, it was fresh to your soul, the Word, as you read it, as you heard it being preached. You had an appetite for it. You longed to hear the Word and read the Word. And then something came into your life, into your experience, and now there's a dullness, there's a dryness, there's a deadness. The yearning that you have for the Word of God's not there at this moment. And when you even do read the Bible, which may be very infrequently, since you're in this condition, it's very dry, very dead. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with the book. You get that fact straight first. There's nothing wrong with the Word. There's something wrong with you. There's something spiritually wrong. My dear friend, you need to give attention to that. That you might find when you come to the Word of God, that as you read, as you hear, as you listen, it comes to your soul with freshness. And of course, we all need to have the Holy Ghost upon us. Let's get that straight also. It is the Spirit of God who brings about this opening up of the Word and the opening up of our minds. And that's why it's so essential for the church to pray that as we come together in a worship service like this, the Word will be with freshness and power to every soul. Dear believer, I trust you're laying hold on God for that. Because I'm talking about that which cannot be worked up or produced by man. It must be brought about by the Spirit of God. And may the Lord do that kind of thing today as we look here at this passage. May I just draw to your attention a few thoughts from this passage of Scripture in which we are looking at Christ speaking to us in the Scriptures with freshness and with power. May I say, first of all, that the Lord speaks in the Scripture as the great prophet. Now, we need to firmly get a hold of that. It is the Lord Himself who talked with these two disciples, who opened up the Scriptures to them. And as He does so, He is acting as the great prophet of Jehovah. For He is the great prophet of the Lord. He came in that capacity when He came as the Messiah and was born into this world. Now, the Jews were expecting the Messiah to be a prophet. Indeed, to be a prophet extraordinary. You remember that occasion when the Jewish leaders sent word to John the Baptist inquiring who he was. And they said, "Who art thou?" And one of the questions was this: "Art thou that prophet?" That's John 1. The verse 21, "Art thou that prophet?" Now they were referring to a particular prophet, not to any prophet in general, but to one in particular, and of course that is the Messiah, because Moses had predicted way back, as we find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 15 to 18, "The Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me." And he says then, "Him shalt thou hear," and that prophet predicted by Moses is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find in the New Testament that is proved, that is verified in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3 and also in Acts chapter 7, by Peter and by Stephen, as they quote those words from Deuteronomy. They apply them to Christ. So, brethren and sisters, get this into your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great prophet of Jehovah. And when he came that day to the Emmaus Road to those two men, he was acting as a prophet. He was ministering to them. He was taking his own word and opening it up to them. And therefore he spoke to them as the prophet of Jehovah. Now may I say to you that when or as Moses predicted Christ the prophet coming, he was referring not only to his actual ministry on this earth during those 3 years. His incarnation, of course, was the highest point of his manifestation as the prophet, and then his ministry during his own public time as a preacher of the Word of God. That was the highest point of all of this, Christ being the prophet of Jehovah. But it must be kept in mind that his prophetic ministry can't be and must not be confined to those 3 years. What we find in the Bible, rather, is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the prophet of Jehovah before he ever came into the world, and he continues to be the prophet of Jehovah after he has left the world. He is the prophet of Jehovah always, right down through the ages of time. Now, he did that in two ways, immediately and directly. What I'm saying is, you remember those occasions in the Old Testament when men saw an angel of the Lord, for example. We read there of Abraham today in Genesis 18. Abraham saw three figures. They came and met with him, and one of them was a divine person. One of them was Christ. One of them was Jehovah. One of them was the angel of the Lord, and he spoke to Abraham. That is what I mean by the Lord immediately and directly coming to exercise his prophetic ministry. And that went on the whole way through the Old Testament. That cloud of fire that led Israel through the wilderness, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that pillar of cloud by day, that was the Lord Jesus Christ appearing in that form and speaking to Israel and guiding Israel. Or you remember the day when Joshua at Jericho saw the captain of the host of the Lord. That was Jesus Christ. That was the prophet coming to bring a word from the Lord. And then, of course, as I've already said, the Lord actually came then in his own humanity. He was born into the world. And he preached and he ministered throughout his days on this earth. That's what we call the Lord immediately, directly, acting as the prophet of the Lord. But then you see, he also acted as a prophet through others. Now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And in these words you will notice something very important. 1 Peter 1 verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, notice that term, the prophets, have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit, listen to this, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did testify. In other words, the Old Testament prophets are in view here in 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11, and they prophesied or they preached of grace, because their message was just the same as the New Testament. And it says this, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What do we learn from these two verses? We learn that all of the Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. But he's called the Spirit of Christ to signify that in them Christ was operating. Through them, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. You take the very first prophet in Scripture, that's Abel. Abel's the first prophet in the Bible. Through Abel, Christ spoke. Christ operated. Christ manifested himself. Christ brought the word. Or you take any of the other prophets, Enoch,
Abraham, right on down, as they speak, as they minister, we are being told right here by Peter that the Lord was in them. Christ was in them. Christ, the great prophet, was speaking through them. Then you go on to the time after the cross. Right from then until the present day, and what do you have? Well, you have the apostles of the Lord who were directly inspired, who wrote Scripture as well as preaching Scripture. The Lord was operating through them as the prophet. But then from that time onwards, you have the regular ministry. You have pastors and teachers, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, and these are the men through whom the Lord is still acting as the great prophet. So let's get this clear. Before the cross, after the cross, as well as in his own life and ministry, Christ is the prophet of Jehovah. Always is the prophet of Jehovah, whether immediately or mediately through others, he is the prophet of Jehovah. Now in this entire prophetic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout time, it is the revealed word that is the focal point of that great ministry. If you take the Old Testament again, you will find that everything was centered on what God was saying as God revealed himself or as Christ revealed the word. There were miracles. The Red Sea was divided. Fire came down from heaven. All these things took place. And may I hasten to add, of course, that miracles in Scripture are actually exceptional. People will say to you, the Bible's full of miracles. And that's not true. Not true at all. You take the Word of God, and I digress here a moment or two. You take the Word of God, and there were only at the most 4 or 5 eras of time when miracles were happening. The first recorded period is the day of Moses, the Exodus from Egypt, and the wilderness journeys. That was a time of miracle. You know when the next time is? After Moses and Joshua, of course, the next time, Elijah and Elisha. And thereafter, let me underline this, thereafter, through the Old Testament, you won't find any mention of miracles. And you're talking about hundreds of years. And then you come to the New Testament, and you study carefully, and you'll find that the miracles of our Lord and the miracles of the apostles were confined to just a few years at most. And yet the Pentecostalists and the charismatic will try to tell you the Bible's full of miracles and we should be having miracles today. The Bible's not full of miracles at all. There are some. But I want you to notice something. When those miracles were performed, it was always for the purpose of verifying and corroborating what God was saying. Whether in the old or the new, a miracle was never an end in itself. The Lord, for example, didn't raise the dead merely to show he could raise the dead. The Lord raised the dead to show that he is the resurrection and the life. The Lord created bread to feed the multitudes to show that he's the bread of life. He had just said that. Or he said it afterwards, I'm the bread of life. And just before that, he had multiplied the loaves and the fish. And the people could see what he's saying now is true. He is the bread of life. In other words, he's able to feed the soul just as he's able to create bread for the belly. Every miracle was performed to verify and substantiate something that was being revealed and said by God. May I say all of this just to bring home to your heart that in the prophetic ministry of Christ, while there were miracles, while there were what are called theophanies, these appearances of the Lord as God in those eras of time, while all that happened, the focus was always on the Word of God. Because God's revelation eventually is written down. Put into this book that we have today. It was written over 1,500 years, the Bible. But remember that it's written that we might have, that humanity might have, or indeed to put it more accurately, that the church might have God's Word in its totality and in its sufficiency. And we don't need anything else. Because here is the prophet of Jehovah speaking to mankind still. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets hath spoken unto us by the Son. Simply focusing on the fact that Christ is the great prophet. And where do we hear His voice? We hear it in His book. In His own Word, in His own, in the pages of Holy Scripture. This is where we'll find the word of the prophet, because the whole ministry of Christ in the sense of revelation, it's found in the Scriptures. He said to the Pharisees, "Search the Scriptures, for in them, for they are they which testify of me." Search the Scriptures. That is a good word for any one of us to search the Scriptures. Remember the day when He appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses was there, and Elijah was there, and when all had passed away, the word of the Father came to those three disciples. "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." The men and women, that is what rings out right over all of God's Word. Christ is the prophet. Hear Him. But where are you going to find Him? That is His voice. In this book. In the Scriptures. This is God's revelation of His own dear Son. And when you sit down to read the book of God, read it that way. This is Christ's word to me. In this He's speaking to my heart as the prophet. He has revealed all this to me from heaven. I now have it. And what a priceless treasure it is. The entire word. All that I need. I have it in my own tongue. I have it in my own hand. This is the word of the great prophet. Oh, shame on you, Christian, if you're not reading this book every day. How can you begin to claim and profess that you're walking with the Lord if you're not reading the Word of the Lord? If you're not sitting down to hear His voice? And some of you aren't doing that. Some of you have neglected the book maybe for quite some time. And you haven't read it. Did you read the Bible this morning? Did you? Here you are in God's house going through a big show. But that's all it is if you haven't read the Bible this morning. What were you doing? Sleeping. And even when people come to God's house, they can't stay awake. Why? Because the heart's not in touch with God. That's why. You can blame everything else you want. But if we're really in touch with God, we'll be sitting and saying, "Lord, speak unto me. This is Thy word. Give me something for my soul." That's what your cry and your longing will be. "Thou art the great prophet. This is Thy word. Speak to my heart." Turn to Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. And look with me there just a moment at a verse where Christ is speaking. Now remember this whole point. He is the great prophet of Jehovah. And here He is speaking. Taking what we call direct speech. And He says this: "The Lord God," Isaiah 50, verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned." Now I want you to underline that, dear Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet, and He has been given the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. "He wakeneth morning by morning." Listen. "He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear." That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking.
And as the prophet of Jehovah, he's telling us here that the Father gave him the word. And then he, having been given that word, is the one with the tongue of the learned, to know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. Now, dear believer, do you not see that of which you're depriving yourself when you don't read the Bible? Or when you don't listen to the preaching of the Word of God with attentiveness? You're depriving yourself of a word from Christ. Because Christ says here, I have the tongue of the learned. That word learned means one who's taught. Here's the Lord's skill. One who is taught. Christ is God, of course, and therefore he has the full knowledge of the mind of God and the will of God. He knows everything about divinity and all that pertains to the Godhead. It's all there. He's one who is taught. He's the one, therefore, with skill. I tell you, dear brother or sister, you need to sit at the Lord's feet like Mary. Remember what it says of Mary? She sat at Jesus' feet to hear his word. Martha was bustling about. Martha's so like so many of the people of God today. Here and yonder, bustling about. Too busy. And though it may be legitimate in its own place, too busy to read, to study, to sit down and listen to the Word of God. What a state the Christian church has got into today when believers, because of the hustle and the bustle of life, don't have time, as they put it, to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, when Mary sat at Jesus' feet, where was she? She was at the feet of the one who says, I have the tongue of the learned. I'm one who's well taught, and there's no one like Christ to speak to us. And then he says this here in Isaiah 54, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We often pray before a church service, O Lord, give us a word in season. And that's right and proper to pray that. But let me disabuse you of any notion that the preacher who goes into the pulpit, no matter who he is, that preacher will have a word in season for you if he is not preaching in the will of God and under the power of the Spirit of God. You see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ of whom it is said, he knows how to give a word in season. Because he knows the heart of every individual. He knows every soul, every need, every life. And what we need to pray is that the one who has the tongue of the learned will indeed speak a word in season to every weary soul. Now, there are many ways in which men and women are weary. We could take that and run with it all day. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not say to sinners, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a word in season to the weary sinner. We thank God today that Christ has a word in season for you who are not saved. You're weary with life. You're weary with sin. You're loaded down. Your heart is filled with iniquity. There's a load of guilt. There's a load of shame. There's a past that torments you. Whatever it might be. And oh, your soul is weary. And you wonder, is there any hope? You wonder, will I ever be saved? Is there anything for me? My friend, the Lord says himself, and this is addressed to sinners, remember, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. That's the word of Christ the prophet to him that's weary. And dear sinner, let me tell you something. He says that. That's not my word. That's not the word of the Free Presbyterian Church. That's the word of Jesus Christ. And it carries all authority. He says to you, sinner,
come unto me. You might say, what right do I have to come to Christ?
You have all the right that His own command and invitation give you. That's where the warrant of the gospel lies.
Within the statements and the commands and the invitations of the Word itself, that's where it lies. And dear sinner, you may say, can I come to Christ, or may I come to Christ rather? And here's the answer, come unto me, the Lord says. And in that He is saying to you that you have the right to seek Him. Weary in your sin. Laden down with guilt. There's a word in season for you, sinner. It comes right out of the word of, out of the mouth of Christ. Come unto me, He says. You're weary. You're laden down. He says, come. Now what more do you need? Is that not enough? When He says, come unto me, He means I'll take the load. When He says, come to me, you who are laden, He's talking about the load of sin, and He's saying, I'm the sin bearer. Everything's in that. All that you need, sinner, is in that word and season today as we take this great example of Christ being the prophet with a word that's suited. Or about the Christian who's weary. How many of God's people are weary? And the Lord has a word for them. A word in season. Does He not say to the believer, in His toiling and His working and His labor, all the pressure He's under, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Dear believer, you may be weary today with the load and the burden of the Christian life. And you feel like giving up. The Lord says to you, let us not be weary in well-doing. It is in doing the will of God and living for God's name and God's glory and God's praise. Let us not be weary in that, because in due season you will reap. Dear mother, as you bring up those children and you grow weary with that, remember that is well-doing. That's God's will, that you be at home and you raise your children. That's the will of God for your life. And though it be a wearisome task, the Lord says, in due season, you'll reap. It's the promise of the Lord. Sunday school teacher, you may be weary with those little ones who try your patience. Don't be weary in that well-doing, because in due season you'll reap. Whatever your capacity, whatever your area of service, whatever particular segment of Christian living you want to mention, is this not a grand word for him that's weary? In due season, ye shall reap. Christ is the great prophet, speaking in the Scriptures. And may He speak to your heart today. May He give you a word with freshness, with such power, with such clarity. There's no mistaking it. This is the word I need, you'll say. This is the word in season. The Lord's able to do that. May He do it for every one of us. We want to leave it there today. Let us bow before the Lord, just for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, take Thy truth now and write it on every soul. And may Thy Spirit apply it to every heart for the praise and the glory of Thy name. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.